Tank is funded by listeners like you.
Today on Geek Tank, we deep dive into Robotech and Macross.
And we do it only in our legal briefs.
And on top of that, we almost drown.
After this. I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank,
your super dimensional sized podcast.
Now with 25 more years of lawsuits.
Today we talk about the Robotech controversy. But first, the news. In the news, SpaceX launched a Falcon 9 with a Spanish Hispasat. It was its record 50th launch of the Falcon 9 rocket, which is great. Mm-hmm. On March 15th, the Chinese will launch a Long March 3B rocket, and they've discovered a system called HD34445, which has six gas giants, two of which are in the habitable Goldilocks zone. Ooh. Could be life there. It'd be fun.
All right, so in our movie news, we have coming out on Friday, March 16th, the remake of Tomb Raider. A reboot.
Tomb Raider.
Re-kick. It stars Alicia Vikander as Lara Croft. And we have other people you may know. Daniel Wu plays Liu Ren. He's the main character out of that new AMC martial arts series. Well,
yes.
It's not new. It's like they're in their like third season now. Mm-hmm. And Dominic West as Lord Richard Croft, which I believe... Is that the guy that plays Preacher?
I don't know.
Well, give me 1 second and I'll tell you.
Super familiar,
it
though.
Is no picture available. So maybe it's not. I don't think it is.
Okay.
All right. Dramatic voice reading. Lara Croft is the fiercely independent daughter of an eccentric adventurer who vanished when she was scarcely a teen. Now a young woman of 21 without any real focus or purpose, Lara navigates the chaotic streets of trendy East London as a bike courier, barely making the rent, and takes college courses, rarely making it to class. Determined to forge her own path, she refuses to take the reins of her father's global empire, just as staunchly as she rejects the idea that he's truly gone. Advised to face the facts and move forward after 7 years without him, even Lara can't understand what drives her to finally solve the puzzle of his mysterious death. Well, that's very different than the video game in the last movie.
Yeah, I wonder if she's going to keep running into the walls and then I'm going to be like, damn it, Lara.
Going, oh.
Damn it, Lara. Damn it, Lara.
And her chest looks like two cones.
Yep.
With points.
Not
that's
anymore.
Like Madonna.
All right.
So League of Legends has a new champion. Her name is Kai'Sa. She's a daughter of the Void. She looks like a jungler slash support character, and she looks really freaking cool.
Did you say juggler?
Jungler.
Oh, okay.
She runs through the jungler and grabs buffs for the rest of the team and tries not to die.
Well, that's kind of what Lara Croft does. But
does she run into walls too?
This gal has skin adapted from a living Void creature, so definitely not Lara Croft.
We're all trying to see whether we can see a picture.
But there you go. She looks really, really cool. I'm very excited for her. I'll see.
We're trying to show you a picture, too.
Like,
are you seeing the picture?
Down.
Looks like a vampire.
The problem is like, once new champions come out, everybody plays them or everybody starts to ban them because they're too overly powerful when they come out, so you never get to freaking play them. So you have to wait till about a month after they come out in order to actually start to play the new
character. Do they restrict how many people on a team can be
people
that?
Just ban it. Like,
gotcha.
In the game, they're like, we don't want anybody playing that character because it's too OP because it's brand new. So it's a constant problem.
Gamers.
Gamers.
Right.
So, okay.
Hopefully she'll be cool. We'll see what happens. She just came out this week, so we'll see.
There you go. Well, and that's the news. So we have this thing going.
Yeah, where Guy and I are really close to the same age, and we have a lot of similarities that happened in our lives that make us alike more than we're not alike.
Right.
Which is why we hate each other.
Right.
Gross.
And what's that?
Gross.
Frenemies. We're frenemies.
You're frenemies?
Cuddle buddies.
We're cuddle buddies.
I'm going to be over here. Like, well,
that's why you're over there.
The table.
We didn't invite you, did we? I was going to say, I think my first big robot cartoon, I was going to say it was Robotech, but actually it was the one with the Manga Z, but they didn't call it Manga Z. What did they call
Mazinger.
It? Mazingu.
But they Mazinger. Mazinger, and we called it, it was called Transor Z here.
Transor Z. So that was actually my first big robot movie animation, and then the next one would have been Robotech.
Yeah, see, I watched Mazinger as well, as Transor Z.
But for me, I never really got into the robots as much, so I never explored Robotech beyond the initial thing. Mm-hmm. And then when I met you, I found out, well, it wasn't originally Robotech.
No, it wasn't. So. Just like all anime from the 70s and the 80s, it was completely changed and renamed and redubbed and mangled and all kinds of stuff.
Like, this in particular seems to be a hot mess.
Yeah, this is like, really...
the mess.
So much so that Carl Masek, who's the guy who did this hot mess, his name is often used in vain with anime fans, especially from my generation.
What was your first big robot cartoon?
Cyborg 009. I was 12. It was on Toonami, and I freaking still love that show. It's still one of my favorite animes.
Yes. So that's a good one.
I love it to death. But I did watch a little bit of Macross with my brother, because it's the only thing like he watched. So
let's give a little bit of a history of what's going on here.
Yeah, because
between Robotech and Macross, because this is really complicated.
Yes.
So sit back and get your popcorn.
So here's the popcorn.
So start with the anime, right?
Right. So in 1984 there was an anime that came out called Macross, and it was made by a studio called Tatsunoko Studios, which made a number of anime at the time that we all know and love.
Yep.
And essentially, it was the first of the big robot transforming into airplanes sort of things. And it was a breakthrough anime.
Okay.
But it came in the same period with a couple of other Tatsunoko properties that had nothing to do with Macross. One was called Superdimensional Cavalry Southern Cross, and one was called Genesis Climber Mos Piata. Okay. And what happened was that a company in America called Harmony Gold purchased all three of those shows, even though they were not related at all, in a package deal, which happened a lot in the 80s. They just bought them for TV. And so they took all three of those properties, re-scripted them, redubbed them, and then called them all Robotech as three seasons of a show. So you had like season one, season two, and season three of different wars. Okay. So it was like three different wars of this super thing that happened. Yeah, so
robots.
it was a large timeline. So the Robotech saga, it diverges immediately from the Macross saga after the first season.
Is Macross like a huge thing compared... I don't really remember.
I'm sorry, what?
How many seasons of Macross are there? The original anime.
That's the thing.
Would you say?
Macross then kind of languished in Japan. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't go anywhere for a decade, maybe a decade and a half. And then it came back in a revival. And since its revival, it has had a number of follow-on seasons and different shows. Macross 7, Macross 7 Dynamite. There's Delta. There's all kinds of other versions of Macross, which has nothing to do with Robotech.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing to do with Robotech. So there's two different completely diverging timelines. There was Macross Plus and all of these things, which have nothing at all to do with Robotech.
They're just under the
except the first 36 episodes, which are the same in both Robotech and Macross.
Which are our point of contention.
And this is the point of contention which caused a lot of fuss.
So, in 1992, Jordan Weisman, who was creator of the Battletech board game, was sued by Harmony Gold. Now, specifically, Jordan's company, which is called the Fossa Corporation, was sued by Harmony Gold. They'd been selling this board game since 1984.
Right.
With no issues.
Well, it's because they pulled the mecha designs, the Robotechs, or the robots, from the original Tatsunoko character sheets, design sheets.
And they were expanding as well. So they were branching out to, like, tie-in novels to the board game, licensed video games because they were becoming big, and they wanted a couple different tactical RPGs from the Command & Conquer creator Westwood Studios.
And so what was happening at this time was in the 80s, everything was kind of sloppy and messy. Things coming out of Japan, Japan didn't care. Mm-hmm. What happened when it came to America. They didn't care because it didn't matter to them. They didn't see much of the money that came from the American thing. And over here, it would get so mangled and destroyed that it wouldn't matter. And it would show up on Saturday morning cartoons, and then it would die.
Right.
And so it wasn't a big deal. Well, 92 was about when anime started to become real. And it became
a thing. You could finally get it on VHS.
Right.
And not just from like a
bootlegger. You could really see it. And there was actually an underground forming. Mm-hmm. And that's where you see... So what had happened was FASA had Battletech as a tactical tabletop game mm-hmm. from 84 on.
Right.
In fact, our engineer Kevin was a big player of that. He's our age, too, and he played it in junior high and high school, and I played it in junior high. So, I mean, we were playing it in the 80s, and I refused to call them by their Battletech names and instead kept calling them by their Robotech names, which irritated all the people who I played with.
So here comes the first lawsuit in 92.
Right.
So, dun, dun, dun.
FASA tried to license a toy deal with Playmates, which was a U.S. manufacturer. The negotiations didn't go well and then kind of just wandered off.
Yep.
Then Playmates designed this brand new robot for Exo Squad toy line that looked pretty much like the Mad Cat from Battletech.
Right.
So,
which FASA, has nothing to do with the Robotech stuff.
Yeah. So FASA sued Playmates for copyright infringement and then lost. And then Harmony Gold, who happened to be this magical partner of Playmates, sued FASA.
Right.
So it was like suit and then countersuit.
Well, you have to also remember that the Exosuit Squad had all of the mecha from Robotech.
It looks like Starbug with legs and arms from Red Dwarf.
Yeah, it's Mad Cat's kind of an ugly.
Yeah.
Mad Cat's an ugly. But I've got some of the Exosquad mechs. Mm-hmm. I bought them from Toyosaurus before they were gone.
So Harmony Gold was chiefly suing FASA because several of the mechs in the Battletech game were copies of robots in the anime series that they owned.
Yes.
And had blended together.
Right. So there's a lot of this. And a lot of this is obviously look, money. Money. There's now money in this.
Since we're in that time period and we're speaking of toys and lawsuits, something else was that back in the early 80s, Transformers bought the right to use the Valkyrie for Jetfire. Jetfire. And so they briefly had legal rights to use it, but then they ended up losing those rights and had to redo Jetfire, and I think they changed the name to Starfire. And then more recently... looks like it was 2012, Hasbro sued over Comic-Con exclusive Transformers toy because they re-released the original design in a Comic-Con exclusive, which
right.
was the Valkyrie.
Messy enough,
you can't do that.
That yeah. design, which is that first original transformable robot, has been used now, and you're talking about this now, in three separate properties.
Right.
Right.
And Harmony Gold claims that
Four.
they... holds.
Four, if you count. Yeah.
Yeah,
exclusive rights for any merchandise based on macros outside of Japan.
And that's what Harmony Gold wanted.
Yeah.
And this is and you have to understand that in the 80s, nobody cared. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't going to be a big deal, right? You were going to show it on Saturday morning cartoons. Nobody cared. Nobody got any money from any of these things.
Didn't have the huge internet yet that we do now.
Right. Well, so it's not that.
Could just find it and be like, ha!
Well, it wasn't that.
They weren't making a lot of money.
It wasn't making a lot of money. So it was like there wasn't money to be had.
Right.
But then the anime scene popped up, and now all of a sudden there's money to be had.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go on ahead and go to a break on that, and we'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Connor Trenier, and I played Commander Trip Tucker on Star Trek Enterprise, and this is Geek Tank.
And we are back. We are at our usual Starbucks right here on Wadsworth. We never did find out what the name of this little plaza area is called, is it?
It's a little plaza area.
Yeah.
Plaza area.
There's a Mile High Comics here, so that's how I think of it.
Yeah.
And it's the Mile High Comics
it's
Plaza.
Lakewood Plaza.
Lakewood Plaza.
I was making it up. We're talking about Robotech Macross. Macross specifically, and how Robotech and the whole lawsuits.
And all
who
this
has copyrights
mess.
And who's pretending they have copyrights.
Right.
So when we left off, Fossa and Harmony Gold were in the thick of it. They were in the thick of it from 92 until 96. So, and then Fossa ended up settling the lawsuit out of court. Essentially, this gets messier because Fossa had purchased licensing from 20th Century Imports, which were one of those little kit building companies.
Right, right.
And
they had gotten it from involved somewhere.
Somewhere, somehow, and Harmony Gold was like, no, only us, only us. So.
Well, and that's what we were, what I was just reading into as well, was that, so there are two pieces that as if this wasn't complicated enough,
mm-hmm.
there was the series, Macross, which was released in 1984, and then there was a movie called Do You Remember Love? Ai Oboete Imasuka, which came out in 1985, which was effectively a retelling of the 36-episode series as a theatrical release movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that Harmony Gold purchased the rights from Tatsunoko for just the movie, not for the series. And the series is owned by a company called Studio New and Big West. And so part of this mess is that now that money is being had everywhere, the fight is over who owns the rights.
To what, where.
To where.
And when.
And since the movie is a retelling of the series, the mechs are the same, the robots are the same, mm-hmm. the story is the same, everything's the same. And it's just shorter in the movie.
So the
movie's a truncated version of the series.
Two companies own the rights to all of these mechs.
Right. And so
the same mechs.
Right. And so you've got this like mess over who's got what.
Right.
And so Big West, which is the company that's in Japan that's involved in all of this, is pretty ticked off about Harmony Gold going around and cease and desisting everybody.
And throwing its weight around. Yeah.
When they really don't have control over the TV series. Necessarily.
Right. Well, and then this Fossa still wasn't deterred. Harmony Gold only singled out certain characters. So these came to be known as the Unseen.
Right.
So they were removed from the books. Their art was removed.
Right.
So Fossa was doing Battletech, right?
Fossa was doing Battletech, yeah.
They weren't doing an actual Macross game, but a Battletech game.
Right, and with if you look in Fossa's game system, they just used the Robotech the robot designs.
Okay.
So you'll see, like, for example, they would have the Phoenix Hawk is one of their robots, which was clearly a Super Valkyrie.
Yeah, I think the Rifleman is what they call the one with the big guns.
The Raider 10.
The Raider 10. So.
Right.
So it should be noted that Fossa was working with Activision on a game called MechWarrior 2. Those robots did stay in that game until they did a revamped version, and they took them out because Activision didn't want to mess with Harmony Gold.
Fossa's the same guys who did Starfleet Battles.
Yeah. Right? Okay. No. Fossa did the Star Trek games.
Oh.
Starfleet Battles is done by a different company, which is still around. Fossa folded. So Fossa's gone. All of this stuff that's involving Fossa is gone now because Fossa had folded about a decade ago.
So this grows in 99.
Right.
When Microsoft bought Virtual World Entertainment Group, who owned Fossa.
Right.
So they became the exclusive and perpetual electronic rights owners to the BattleTech property.
Right.
So Fossa got all the other non-electronic rights, so like their role-playing game was fine and their board games were fine. So now they're developing MechWarrior 4, they're developing Mech Commander 2. They never released a sequel called MechWarrior Prime. So they did a bunch of games, video games until the closure
the
in 2007.
BattleTech games were fun. There was first-person one, and then there was also like a top-down third view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And essentially, they just didn't include the unseen mechs, and they were fine.
Right.
So, whew, all that fun stuff, right?
Now, where does Palladium come in?
So Palladium is a company that built the role-playing game, the Robotech role-playing game. And they got rights in the mid-80s to do that. And it's a small company. They're still around, and they do a game called Rifts. And that's one of their
more popular ones. That's like an MMORPG, right?
It may be, but it's a game system that they built.
Okay.
RPG. Yeah, it's a pen and paper RPG.
Rips in time that things come through other dimensions.
I thought there was an electronic version of that.
They maybe.
Also, Savage Worlds just like did a module conversion of the Rift system and system.
I've played Rift on. It's an online game.
Right.
Yeah, I like
so
it.
So there
cool.
there must be. But Palladium has a system out there, and they picked up the Robotech license in the mid 80s. In fact, Robotech was the first RPG I ever played after Star Frontiers. Yeah, I played one game of Star Frontiers, and then the serious game I played was Robotech. And so
you've played two games of Star Frontiers now.
Yes.
Back a few years ago when we let's play old games we've only played once.
Right. And
we remembered why we only played them once.
But the thing is, so they picked up the rights to that. And they had the role-playing games. Mm-hmm. And I still have all the books to those role-playing games because I very much loved those. And that was by a guy named Kevin Symbiota. Something like that. Anyway, he owns that company. And that's been a rough road for that company. So we kind of have gone along with this for a while.
Right.
And they've been trying to revive that license and bring that license back and kind of bring this all around again. And they've had a rough relationship with Harmony Gold off and on, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So I think this brings us to what's created...
The reason why this podcast is going on.
I've got some more issues here, too.
Oh, go for it.
So there's a small game company called Piranha, which struck a deal with Infinite Game Publishing, and they got the money to buy the MechWarrior rights from Wiseman and from Microsoft to fund development of a game called MechWarrior Online. And, like, as soon as they announced the project, like...
Harmony Gold sued them?
Went down. So one of the mechs featured was Warhammer, which was an unseen one.
Right.
That Wiseman had agreed not to use since 1996. So they were like, rah, 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 and sent a cease and desist letter. Of course. So that was a big, big problem because it was based on the original art used back in 1984. So in 2013, they announced a project called Project Phoenix. This was after the game came out and all that was put behind them. And they included four new mech additions. And they were loosely, and very, very loosely based on the Unseen mechs. They sent a couple of the designs to Harmony Gold, and Harmony Gold shot them straight down. And they were like, no, you can't use the Warhammer or the Marauder. Get rid of them. So Piranha was like, okay, we can't work with you. We're just going to redesign them 2 years later in 2015. So Harmony Gold stood like unbudging, like, screw you. We don't care. We don't want you using them. Bugger off, right?
Right. Well, so, and that's one of the, and that brings us sort of to the clash of the of this last going to court thing where we brought everybody
in. And Harmony Gold in this particular instance in MechWarrior 5, Harmony Gold sued developers from MechWarrior 5 and Harebrained Schemes Battletech games because supposedly they had the names even though they'd redesigned them and kind of named them things slightly different. And so they were just like, no, they infringe on our rights and our Macross design.
Because Marauder is obviously an officer's battle pod.
Right.
And that's the name of our officer's battle pod.
But these designs were based on the anime series, which technically they never owned the rights to. And these were specifically Locust and Shadowhawk.
Right.
And original
and so that's
designs
part of,
created by FASA.
Right.
Which is Atlas. So these are just problems because FASA got some rights that might not have been legit and made their own mechs, but Harmony Gold is claiming them because they look like other mechs.
Right.
In their series that they own specifically from the movies, which is a shortened version of the TV show. Like,
this is really complicated.
This is a mess.
And what a very big mess.
And Harmony Gold just keeps suing people and sending cease and desist letters. So now we get to the crunchy bit, the juicy bit, the Kickstarter bit.
Well, we're going to cease and desist and take a break, and we'll be back after this.
My name's Una. I'm with Nerd Necessities Network. You can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. This is Geek Tank.
And we're back with so much more information. I know you thought it was over,
but it's not.
It's still complicated.
So we were talking over the break about this, and I think what's happening is that probably what happened was that Tatsunoko got new management, and somebody just said, you know, look at Sailor Moon, look at Pokemon, look at all this stuff.
DBZ.
Look at DBZ.
Where your money at?
Yeah, all of these companies, all of the big companies here in Japan are finally getting money for this anime, and you let Macross walk out the door. Mm-hmm. And you just gave this data to everybody. And Big West has control over some of this stuff. Studio New has control over some of this stuff. And Harmony Gold has control over some of this stuff. And everybody started to grab on all of this property.
Right.
And that's obviously what has happened. And it became a grab, and they wanted control over the U.S. market, and it just became ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tatsunoko was loose with it in the 80s, and they just let that property go anywhere. And it became very popular. There's a lot of us that are Robotech fans. And so,
well, and this is just, you know, it was given out in pieces, so there were a lot of issues. I mean, like, Harmony Gold was suing, they were suing a bunch of different people. From, like, 92 through 96, they were suing a bunch of different people. In 2013, they claimed in federal court that Hasbro's SDCC, San Diego Comic-Con,
yes,
set,
yeah,
of the G.I. Joe versus the Transformers, the Epic Conclusion, violated their copyright license and trademarks on the Macross series.
Because it had
specifically
it had
on the TV series, which, as you'll remember, if you were paying attention earlier, they only own the movie stuff.
Right.
So that's why that's important.
But it's because they got Jetfire.
Yeah.
Anytime Jetfire is brought into the Transformers series, then Harmony Gold gets to slam Hasbro.
But now, currently, Harmony Gold's license has been revoked.
Effective
because
this year.
Japanese courts ruled that Studio New, the creators of the actual series with Tatsunoko Production, actually own and control the Macross intellectual property. So they're given international distribution outside Japan only. Doesn't allow them to control and does not allow them to control the intellectual property. Interesting. Okay. So this is very
So it gets
crazy.
Very confusing yeah. as to yeah. who's got control of it now.
But it also says that according to the US Copyright Office, Harmony Gold is a co-copyright owner until 2021.
Right. But at 2021, it ends. So and that's where things get ugly.
This particular chapter started in November of 2016. So,
and this is the last chapter for Harmony Gold, I think.
There are 41 characters that are owned by Big West Advertising and not Tatsunoko. So they found, the arbitrator found that Harmony Gold had the rights to the Super Dimension Fortress Macross, the Super Dimensions Calvary, I can never
Southern Cross.
Southern Cross, and Genesis Climber
Most Piata.
Thank you.
Those until are the Robotech. Those are the properties.
Ones until March 14th of 2021 per the licensing agreement.
Okay, so this brings us to our 1.4 million Robotech Kickstarter disaster.
Yay!
Which
Wait,
is
can I give you like a tiny, tiny little more?
No. Yes.
Harmony Gold. Can I just dig their grave just a tiny bit more? So the owner in Italy actually was tried in October of 2011 in the court of Milan, and he was charged with buying rights for U.S. television series and movies and then reselling them to broadcasts for media trade at inflated prices and laundering money. And this huge freaking complex scheme with four other companies. So they were sentenced to 13 months of imprisonment. This man had like five Swiss bank accounts with like 19 mil a pop. This guy is a b***ard.
Yeah.
So just want to dig that a little bit more just to show you that that guy is a gold digger.
He's a Harmony gold digger.
He is a Harmony. Yeah. His company name says it all. So this Kickstarter disaster of epic
proportions. Back in 2013, the Robotech RPG Tactics tabletop miniatures game was successfully funded.
Yay.
Which I was part of.
Yeah, you were dancing around because there was finally a tabletop miniature game.
They exceeded their goal by a lot. Their 70K goal, they actually got $1,442,312 with 5,000 backers, a little over 5,000.
Right. We all were into that. And we got a lot of the extended stuff, and there were a lot of extended pieces to it. And there were so many pieces to it that they had to break it into two waves, wave one and wave two.
And a lot of people do this when they're printing a bunch of little minis.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen a lot with these kind of Kickstarters just because they can only print so many things and ship them out. And they do print a lot of them in China.
Right.
Right.
Duh. So it was the Palladium, which we mentioned earlier, is president of Palladium, Kevin
Symbiata.
Was Symbiote.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah.
Symbiote?
Hey. So he announced that they were holding the license for Robotech in the U.S. for more than 30 years, but now his company was unable to renew the license through, drumroll, Harmony Gold.
Right.
Harmony Gold. You suck.
Harmony Gold, I think, is cutting the license because
of this. They're trying to cut their losses.
They're trying to cut their losses. But here's the deal. They passed their Kickstarter in 2013, and they promised us that they would have all of the games set up at the end of 2013. And it's 2018.
When has a Kickstarter ever actually met their goals?
Hey, like, let me check my watch.
Well, but it's 2018. It's not just that. It's not just that. I mean, they had it broken into two waves, and we've got wave one. I've been working on wave one minis for a while now.
Now, how long did wave one take to get to you after the Kickstarter?
It took a good year and a half before it got to me. So I think it was probably mid 2015 before I finally got wave one.
I will say with mini games, because I've been
we did an unboxing for Geek Tank. We did we unboxed.
You can find that on YouTube.
You can find it in our YouTube channel.
So Cool Minis are not I've been backing their game every time they have a release of the Zombie Side game, and it usually takes them about a year to crank out what they have, if not a little more. So that's not unusual, but more than a year and a half is pushing it.
Right. Well, and now we're at, and wave two was just the remainder of the minis. I mean, the game's already there. And so it was just the remainder of the minis, which irritated a lot of the people who were involved in the game, because it was like, well, now wait a minute. It took you till 2015 to get the first real large batch of the minis out. And then it's 2018, and you can't get the second smaller batch? What's taking so long? Well, it turns out that they had blown through their 1.4 million and to do that first batch. And they were trying to figure out a way to make the money to do the second batch. And it turns out that they don't have the money at all.
Even
they just simply don't have the money.
All these goals.
Right.
And then, like, this is the usual, I'm sorry, this is the usual Kickstarter story for me. I hate Kickstarter. It's such a gamble for your money, and it's terrifying. Especially on these games where they have to get licensing. If it's somebody's, like, own, like, passion project, sometimes I'll invest at a lower dollar level and amp it up if I find it to be legitimate. But, like, with this kind of stuff, it just becomes quick heartbreak.
Right. But the truth of the matter is that in this instance, we figured that it's Palladium. It's a pretty relatively stable company. It should be okay.
Right.
And I'm actually not unhappy per se. The game is pretty huge and pretty awesome and pretty interesting. I just missing out on my Super Valkyries and stuff like that. And there's going to be a lot of stuff going to be missing.
What I'm finding is that they were immediately tripped up by complications right after they got it. The 3D sculpts of the game miniatures that it had commissioned at a cost of $35,000 were not compatible with the manufacturing process and had to be recreated from scratch.
I have a question on this. Why are they selling these on Amazon? Because they backed with Amazon. Yeah, Palladium Books are Robotech RPG Tactics board games. There's one in stock. It's for $100.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can buy this online right now.
Yes, I have that. That's what I have.
That's
they
wave
gave
one.
It to you from
that's
the Kickstarter?
One.
Yeah, that's wave one.
Okay, so you're just waiting on wave two.
Which right, there will never be a wave two.
Never.
So what they're going to do is they're going to let me pick from wave one a second set of wave one.
Ew.
Yeah. So that's.
But it's limited. So not everybody's going to get something.
Yeah, I know. That's what's really
that's
sucking.
That's like the extra kick is in the balls.
The extra kicker is I have to pay for shipping. And I have, and it's limited, and they're only going to go as long as there's still stock left.
This was,
and they're, you know, it's everything has to be pulped, and you know, and it's like.
So I found that a coincidence here. The one Gen Con I've been to, which is a huge gaming convention, was in 2014, and they were there trying to move product to get the money raised for Wave 2, but because they actually had product for people to look at. Everybody was finding that it had multiple serious manufacturing defects in the figures.
Right.
And so nobody wanted to buy them because they weren't that great quality.
Right. I found some problems with the figures as well.
Say some of them don't fit together properly.
Right. The legs don't fit very well on the mechs.
According to this
on the Destroids.
This article from Polygon, the owner of Palladium, says that they burned through the $1.4 million 3 years ago in 2015.
Oh, yeah.
So 2 years they were after gone. Kickstarter, they burned through all of it. So people are pissed. They're like, where did this money go?
Yeah.
Because they decided they were going to do a bunch of different stuff. And they thought that they would pick back up capital, maybe from selling games on Amazon and stuff. When honestly, this is kind of a niche market. And they should have concentrated on their Kickstarter people instead of trying to expand. Like, I have a game that... a buddy of mine supports called Cthulhu Wars. They only sell on their website and through Kickstarter. And when they do new bundles, they do a Kickstarter for it. So they can constantly make the revenue they need to produce the game and get the minis out. Yes, it takes a while, but it's been consistent for three or four expansions now. So.
Yeah.
So it looks like they thought when they started the Kickstarter, they were 98% done with their product. And it turned out they were way below that. So it's not like they went into this expecting to rip people off. They just hit every possible thing that could go wrong went wrong, and it caused it to crash and burn. If you are one of the backers, you have until March 20th, 2018, to do the process of what you need to get to cash in on what you have.
Right.
So get on that fast.
Get on it.
Fast.
And we'll need to post on Twitter and stuff and get the word out, too, for people.
Yep.
So we're going to... pass it to Chelsea.
We're going to head to our AWA?
Sure. Yep.
Sound good?
It sounds good.
All right, here we go.
All right, on today's Ask Us Anything, it comes in from Nick. And the question is a two-parter. It is, how much do you know about dinosaurs, and which one is your favorite?
Okay. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Pass that to Chelsea.
cool. I know super cool facts about dinosaurs. In fact, I knew that there were two paleontologists who were fighting to find the coolest dinosaurs ever. And so both of them actually made up dinosaurs and just combined and mishmashed bones in order to get credits for new dinosaurs. And now we have less dinosaurs, which makes me mad.
Right. The dinosaurs do not exist.
Yeah. No. My favorite is Brontosaurus, because they're cool and long-necked and they're herbivores and won't murder you. So I'm a fan. I really like stegosauruses, but I don't think they technically exist anymore. They're not actual. I think we found out that they're not actual dinosaurs. I'll have to go back and look because I'm not 100% sure. It's been a minute.
So according to the first question, that means you don't know as much.
Not as much as I want to.
I see. So, okay. How about you, Troy?
Oh, I know far less than my son does.
I'm sure.
I know a little more. I probably know more than I think I do.
Yeah.
But it's I know that the Utah Raptor is smaller than the raptors that they used for Jurassic Park.
Which, right.
Again, learned from my son. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of the information we get about dinosaurs is speculation,
mm-hmm.
because all we have is bones.
Right.
So
and
I guess
traces of feathers.
If you're putting it in GURPS terms, I'm about a level 3 in dinosaur
level 3 in dinosaurs.
I don't know how you would measure that, but I guess there you go. And my favorite dinosaur is the Ankylosaurus, which I always thought was pronounced
Ankylosaurus. Yeah.
But again, my son corrected me. It is Ankylosaurus.
Ankylosaurus kind of sounds cooler.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's just your ankle.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
yep.
It's the reason that's my favorite is when I was very young, like about age 8, my brother had a model of one that actually had a prehensile. The tail could move.
Oh,
the legs
yeah.
could move. So,
he clubbed you with it.
It was really cool. And I believed him when he told me that they could shoot blood out of their eyes to blind their victims.
That would have been so sick, though.
It's a speculation because some lizards do that. So
right.
It could have.
Anything could have happened.
Anything. It could fly kites for all we know.
Yeah.
It could right. fly kites.
Ankylosaurus sitting there with a kite.
I think that's a bit of a jump.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Tied a string to a pterodactyl and flew a pterodactyl instead.
So I used to know a lot more about dinosaurs than I do now, and the times that I used to know a lot about dinosaurs, they drug their tails and didn't have feathers. So I know that probably the information I did know about dinosaurs is now woefully out of date. So anyway, I do know that dinosaurs have feathers now, and I also know that they use their tails for counterbalance like cats do, which is not what I grew up knowing. And I think my favorite one's probably Plesiosaur. I always loved the sea dinosaurs, but I also like the idea that for a long time they were theorizing that, you know, the Loch Ness Monster was a plesiosaur that had gotten stuck in Loch Ness.
That'd be so cool, though.
Wouldn't that have been awesome?
It would have been so awesome.
Yeah.
That, and you just think about sea giants roaming the wild seas and, like, all the crazy sharks that they might have had.
Yeah, the Megalodon.
Terrifying. Yeah.
Well, that was our Ask Us Anything. If you have an Ask Us Anything, please write to us at
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Well, that's all the time we've got for today. I think I'd like to ironically thank Harmony Gold for wiping out my wave 2 of little teeny plastic model kits that I could be building in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to let you know that if you're looking to buy the rights to the Macross universe, Robotech universe, it's going to be open, it sounds like, in 2021. And you could get it and make a game with a bunch of miniatures, and then Guy would buy them.
Yes.
Exactly. So, and thanks to the internet, I found out about the whole Robotech thing through Leonard French's YouTube channel. If you like lawyery things broken down for you, I find it's a really good channel that you can just go and watch. He did a 20-minute segment on this, and that was kind of cool. So that's how I found out about this whole situation, and he kind of broke it down really reasonably. But I'd also like to know your thoughts on this. I know there are a lot of fans out there that love Robotech and Macross, and I hope that you guys get more stuff because you've definitely earned it because you've waited long enough, and I'm really sorry that this happened. But there's nothing I can do but, like, report on it. We can report on it and hope.
Yep.
Hope that fans will get their stuff.
There you go. That's what we've got. That's our show for today. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And I've been Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank 324.
As always, you can email us at questions at RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Join the conversation on Twitter at RMGeekTank. You can also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Tumblr. We're Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Feel free to join the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license.
Your hosts today were Gaius Davis, C. Troy Floor, and Chelsea Kramer.
Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you. Please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade. I'm Mike Davis asking you, shall we play a game? Good night.